You are listening to Legacy Moments, where we have authentic conversations about life, business, and so much more. I am your host, Dr. Patrice Berry, and I am joined by my co-host and mom, Johnny Lloyd. We are so excited for season two, and today we wanted to start off this season talking about a pretty difficult topic. We're going to be talking about grief. And grief is extremely complex. And we're not just talking about the death of a loved one. So grief comes in many forms, including some things that you wouldn't normally associate with grief, like getting a new job, getting married, having a new child, or starting a new relationship. We don't always think about the grief that can come along with some of those more positive things. And so where'd you want to start?
And I love what you have alluded to already, Patrice. So one of the things I think that we need to harp on is the fact that we're switching or shifting the mindset of what grief is, right? And then the other thing is to remind each and every one of us that from the outside looking in, other people may not recognize or even receive the fact that we're grieving and you can have success. You're grieving and you just had, you know, something wonderful just happened in your life or something, you had a great loss. And then people want to put time frames on how long a person should grieve when there has been a loss or a shift, right? However, what we want to say up front is grief is a very personal and private emotion, and that grief is multifaceted. It's dimensional. It is not just, you know, everybody grieves at this level or this happens, because when somebody gains or loses something and they go through the element of grief, everybody didn't lose the same thing. Because some people may have lost a mother, somebody else lost a wife and a friend and a confidant, you know what I'm saying? Or someone else may have lost a mother and a confidant, or somebody lost a friend. And again, you can have grief from something that's successful. You know, you've went all through your life and you have fought to climb up the corporate ladder. I'm going to talk about me. I climbed up the corporate ladder in this one area. And when I got there, it wasn't what I thought. And what I had to give up, I didn't think was worth where I was. So I was going through this thing saying, you're here now. Now what?
Let's stay there, because we don't often talk about the grief that can come with success, the grief with things going right, things being okay. Brené Brown talks about foreboding joy, where when things are going well, there's this part of you that sometimes goes, well, like something bad gonna happen. Like what's, you immediately start thinking and you kind of ruin that positive moment. And I love that we have a non-judgmental, I can accept that I'm in this moment and still be able to, like, it doesn't have to mean that, oh, because I'm going through this, that means I don't do any of these things anymore. That along with grief, that it can be an and. I can be grieving and. Because the thing that I like to say that I heard online is that grief is about love. And so with love comes grief. That when I'm grieving something, so when I get to a certain place, there was some grief that came with getting increased numbers on social media. Because there was a bit of privacy. So when I first started out on TikTok, never thought the account would grow to where it is now and how it continues to grow. I had a video of our son up on, when I had less than probably 5,000 followers, I did a video with our son, and it was cute. It was adorable. But then it was like, wait a minute, as this account grows, there are certain parts of my life that I want to protect. And there was a bit of grief that came along with that. And I think it's allowing yourself to feel and not judging yourself, because often we go, should I feel this way?
Wow. And that's the thing that's happening in our head, because the story that we're telling ourselves is something like you start here and you tell yourself this story because you want to fill in, your brain wants to fill in all the spaces that are missing something. So our brain makes up this story so we can shame, so we can finish it out, right? Because the brain wants to know, what do we do with this situation? So it wants to fill it out. So the thing about what you just said is, for me, is looking at it and then figuring out what's true. What's the emotion? What is the truth about the moment? And then giving myself a chance to breathe in that moment and then reassessing where I am and where I desire to move forward.
The thing that I like to say is feelings aren't facts, but I still validate the feeling because I can validate, okay, this is where I am, this is how I'm feeling, and this is valid. And then, because with grief, there can come shame, there can come guilt, there can be disappointment that comes along. There can be these other emotions that often are right behind. And that's where, especially when it comes to relationships, my rule is to not go to bed mad at someone. I don't want the last thing that I ever said to someone. I don't want it to be, you know, something overly negative that I would regret if that was the last thing that I ever said to that person.
Wow. And this is what I would like to encourage us to do in advance of that. Not just before you go to bed, but don't leave anybody's presence.
Sometimes you need to calm down. Does that make sense? But I get what you're saying.
Yeah,
but
careful about leaving someone's presence in a negative.
Because I will tell you, when my husband and I were dating, my emotion was about, like, I needed to take some space for a moment to breathe. It was about me, and it was about some things that I needed to work through. Because that's often what we need to do within relationships. And with grief, we need to, grief with this loss can bring up grief from all of these other losses, especially if I haven't dealt with it. So often we try to, I know I do, I try to work through it. I like to be back to my normal routine, but a part of that is to distract myself from the emotion. And then I schedule time to sit with it, because feeling grief, feeling it in the moment, it helps it avoid. It helps you not become, there's something called complicated grief, where years later, all of a sudden, everything, Pandora's box opens, and it's all related to this loss from years ago that I pushed down. And now everything has come back up.
So let's talk about that for just a second, if we can. Let's say this is a positive thing that's happening in your life, right? And you're in the middle of grief. Okay, so I'm going to talk about me. What if I move from being, I've been single for a really long time. And I love my singleness. I enjoy being single. Now, I'm not knocking marriage.
No, but I'm thinking about the fact that you just bought brand new
I just went out and bought, and you said something about it. You said, right now I'm doing something about your singleness or something, you know. She was encouraged. It was a positive, right? You said walk in the singleness. However, you have to still look at some things, because if you ever desire to be married, you still need to go through a process. Now, in this, me buying the appliances, I went out, I purchased them. I thought I had did all my research. I'm going to be honest with you. I thought I did all my research. And then I had buyers. After I looked up the company, this is a tip, y'all. This is a major tip. If you're buying something and you have a long-term relationship with whoever's going to do the maintenance on it, if it's not working, look up that company. So I looked up the company I was going to have this long-term 5-year relationship with, not the company I purchased it from, the company they were doing the maintenance with. And then I ended up with buyer's remorse.
Well, because the reviews were horrible.
And so, they were past horrible.
Buyer's remorse. When I think of buyer's remorse, I think like I regret because sometimes something comes up and it's good. So right. I think it was good that you did
pulled
that
the
research.
It was good that I was about to pull the trigger. Well, I did pull the trigger. it was did good even afterwards. And this is what I'm going to say is that in the midst, remember I said earlier, and Patrice has alluded, it talked about it too, is sometimes you have to sit in the moment. I sat in the moment. I enjoyed it. I left the place and I was high and happy. I'm telling you, everything was going. I saw my new stove sitting in the place, right? All of this wonderfulness. And then I got there and I did some more research. Don't ever stop moving forward is a tip. Don't ever stop moving forward. When you gain success, don't stop there. Celebrate. Celebrate the moment. Celebrate whatever. Celebrate that and then get into the feeling. Because what happens if you have some grief because now you gave up that kind of money? That kind of money or whatever it is. Because when you get something new, it's typically you have to step into something else to move forward, right?
Well, and you have to let go.
You have to let go of something. Yeah. Because if you're trying to be, and I'm going to go back to me, if I try to stay and do whatever I want to, like I'm doing single, and I want to, and I enter into a marriage, he would have a problem with me spending the money I spent without discussing it. I mean, so you know what I'm saying? So there's some thoughts with that. So my point, but let's go back to the point. The point of it is this, is that grief is real. Grief is not just about something adverse happening. It can be a positive or success moment. It can be the fact that you now, your life is changing because of a child. It can be because you're married. It can be for a million reasons. However, you have to identify what it is that you're feeling. Look at what you're feeling and why you're feeling it. And then like Patrice said, it's real. Is it the truth? And then you move forward. And then the last thing I would like us to address, I mean, not the last thing, but the thing I would like us to address is talking a little bit about having a loss, our normal perception of grief, and people looking at you and saying that, aren't you over it? Or looking at you like you should be over it, even if it's positive. So looking at people like, aren't you, what do you mean you say it? Or what do you mean you're, you know, people's opinion?
And I really think that goes back to toxic positivity. And we might have to do a part two to that one. Just on the radio this morning, I heard learn how to lose without losing it.
Whoa.
Learn how to lose without losing it. And I really thought that related to a lot of the things that we were going to be talking about today, because I don't think in this society, I think we focus on winning. I think we focus on the good so much and we don't help people through difficult times. So one of the things that we don't always talk about is when I am supporting a friend who is grieving, their grief may bring up some of mine, but that's for me to manage. That's not a good time to bring up to them, oh, so this is what I did, or this is what helps me, unless they ask for that. Because bringing in my grief can often shift the focus where it's like, oh, I went through something similar. And it's like, wait a minute, like that's, you're trying to support them in that moment. I don't think we do a good job because often I think seeing someone sad, seeing someone grieving, that hurts. But I think that pain that you see is to let you feel a little, just a bit of what they're feeling, and just to sit with them in that of, that must be hard. In my book, Turning Crisis into Clarity, there's a chapter on grief. And within that chapter, there are things that were said, like there were recommendations, things to say and not to say, and then ways to support someone that's grieving, and also tips for if you are grieving. And in that, I really think that being able to manage, so if I'm supporting someone else who's grieving, I have to manage myself and be comfortable in that discomfort.
What I did was I just looked down at something because I wanted to make sure I brought this up. My key is I think that sometimes people of faith has have an issue when they look at grief or loss and faith in the same area. Because, however, I'm saying as a person of faith that grief and faith intersects. It's not one or the other. You can be a person of faith and still feel grief, loss. You can still believe for what you believe for your loved one in a case, that's we're going to start there, or believe for what you're believing for, and it's still, at the end of that, you feel the emotion of grief.
And there are some losses that really, it can make you question
your faith.
Your faith, what you believe. And that's where, so as a therapist, one of my favorite stories is in supporting someone and helping them find hope, because they came to me and they had walked away from their faith, which for me, like that was the, and the, it was not their goal to return to it. And then through our work, in working through the grief, they found their faith again in that process, the further they got away from the loss. And so the one thing that I will say is in your grief, don't make a forever decision based on this present moment, because sometimes we can't see the whole picture. We can't see everything. I have multiple people that I've supported throughout the years where in the right after their major crisis, there was no hope. There was nothing there. And in our partnering together and then, and them continuing to the best they could, because for some people they weren't able to return to work immediately, because I work with clinical. So there's normal, typical grief. And then there's clinical, you should probably go and talk to someone. And so if it's been months and you still can't get out of bed and you're not eating, you're not sleeping, these can be signs, because some grief can be traumatic, mm-hmm. and it can bring up signs very similar to PTSD. And so that's where partnering with a professional that can be really helpful. But in walking through this journey, I see it as a journey, and it's not something that's ever going to go away. And I don't think that we talk about that enough.
Yeah.
That it's not something that you move on from. Like, oh, haven't you moved on? No. It's something that you continue to move through and that you learn to live with. You have to redefine some things in your life. You have to find ways if you want to fill certain voids, or do you leave that void there as that reminder of that love? And so I like to somehow, how can we turn this grief into that gratitude, that appreciation, into that love?
Wow. And the thing I love, that I enjoy about what you're saying is that we normally grieve things that we have had or have a connection to. The deeper the connection can be, the deeper that you feel the emotion of grief.
And that's the bigger the love, the bigger the grief.
Right.
And also there can be times that loss can bring relief. So if the person was in a lot of pain,
yes.
If I'm leaving a chaotic, toxic relationship, that grief, there can also be some relief, some happiness, some joy. And so that's where I'm saying, don't put grief in a box. Mm. It is so complicated, because sometimes people, and that's why I don't say I'm sorry for your loss, because I don't understand your loss until we've sat down and talked about it. Because you might be happy. Like maybe you didn't have a great relationship with that person. And I don't know the history you have with that person. You might not be sad about this. And that's a different type of grief process. Cause I've had people come to therapy and they're like, I had this loss and everybody's telling me I should be sad, and I'm not sad. So like, I'm in therapy because I'm not sad. It's like, wait a minute. Like,
you don't have to be,
you don't like, let's talk about, you know, let's, you know, but for some people, so everybody doesn't grieve the same way. And I love how you started that way, that it's an individualized process.
Right. And the other thing that what you just mentioned triggered for me is that there is the grief, and then some people can be in denial because then they run into that problem that you deal with like 5 years later or some later time. Then they go through grief and people are saying, what is wrong? What happened?
And that's where they push back. I'm fine. And they really weren't. Right. So that wasn't a true I'm fine or I'm okay. Or for some people, they also try to be okay for everyone else.
Yes.
They try to put on a face for everyone else. And I think we should talk with our kids about grief. My son has started talking about heaven but he was joking about it and he wasn't understanding the finality of death, which is age appropriate. Like that's normal, but we were having conversations about grief and loss. And I think talking about these things, and then you determine what's age appropriate for your child, for their age and for their emotional and developmental level.
And so for just a second, I'd like us to discuss grief of things of like an animal.
Aww.
Because sometimes people have their animal and they have a relationship with their animal pet. I'm going to say pet that is so intertwined to their life that when they have that loss is major for them. Major. So my point for bringing that up is don't determine how a person should grieve, what they should grieve about, or the steps that connects to their wellness. Is that okay?
I do my best to let go of shoulds because people say, oh, you shouldn't. How should I feel? How do I feel? How do I want to feel? Instead of focusing on shoulds, pet loss is real. Pet grief, being concerned, because pets get, cancer and pets get sick. Pets and keeping, it can get expensive. And that is a part of the family. And everybody has a different relationship with their pet. But I know people that continue to grieve because they had this pet for 10, 11, 15 years for this period of time. And it was like another child. It was like, it truly was a family member.
Right.
And so pet loss is definitely real.
Okay. What else? Okay. So let's go back to giving you some tips maybe on how or what we can do when we see someone else that's grieving. How can we help support? Now, you've talked a little bit about it. However, are there additional tips that we can provide that would help each one of us? And let me tell you why. This is a critical time. Let me back up. If I can do that. This is a critical time. And when major things happen in our lives, whether it be weddings, whether it be, people graduating, holidays, all of that things, sometimes we can be re-triggered by a previous situation, grief. And then people, I think I mentioned to you, like my mother has been gone for years. And then sometimes something may happen and I want her there. I miss the fact that she's not there. So I go through this grieving thing, this thing that I still feel her, that I miss her. And so that's why I don't want people to think there's a time limit on it is my tip. Recognize is not a time limit. So I know you have some too.
And I think it's also a spiritual journey too. And each person has different beliefs and I want to respect that. For me personally, there's a book called Invisible Heartstrings. And it's one that I like to read to kids. And sometimes I share it with adults as well, because what it talks about is I'm still connected. Mm. While I might not be able to see a person, because it starts more with helping kids know that when their parents aren't there, that they still love them. They still we're still connected, even if I'm not physically there. And then if I'm not physically here on Earth, that there is still a way to stay connected, to because I have a lot of people that have spirit animals, or they have this where they see, you know, a bluebird, or there's a fox, or but like there's a specific animal that they get comfort, because I think it's is the thing bringing the person comfort. And I think for supporting someone grieving, letting go of judgment.
Say that again.
Letting go of judgment.
Now that's an active thing on your part, on our part, our, I'm including myself. That's an active thing on my part, because the first thing I want to do is I want to fix it. I want to stop their pain because I love them. I care about people, right? I want to stop their pain. So that's the first thing I want to do. Remember, it's not, this is a season when you're with someone like that in that situation, it's not about me. It's about them. So this is one of the most selfless things we can do, is not to judge and not to determine what they should be feeling or doing.
And a family member had a major loss, and my biggest concern was that they were seeing someone, seeing a professional, and that they were safe, that they knew that there were people here. Because what grief can bring up for you is it can kind of bring up some existential, why am I here? What's my purpose? What's the point of all of this? It can really bring up a lot of deep, dark things. And I needed that person to know, you still, I need you still, you know, you're still, because just in case there were, because when you get down, when in the midst of grief, in the midst of a lot of pain, sometimes there can be these irrational, there can be these very strong negative thoughts. And the person, like they confirmed they weren't thinking about harming themselves, that they were safe, and they were in there, like they were in ongoing therapy. And so I was comfortable with that. But I think recommending, and people, and now, like, if it's the day number one, don't recommend therapy. like it's normal to fall apart. The first month, first few, like the first little bit is tough, especially grieving the loss of children, unexpected losses, losses due to violence. Those are all, it's a different, it's not versus, you know, a family member that had a long-term, long-standing, and we kind of saw them deteriorate, like, and we were able to prepare. Those losses are still hard. That loss is not any easier, but the unexpected loss can bring that trauma piece, because then you're trying to understand it. You're trying to make meaning of it. And each person does that in their own way.
Okay. I love it. So again, this is such an opportunity to give love at a deeper level, and to think about not what's in it for me, but what's in it for them. How can you comfort them? How can you just sit quietly in the room and not say anything? This is a time that silence might be the right thing. You know how we try to fill space because we don't like silence?
And that's where the thing that really works for me is breathing. Because even when I'm online or when I'm in therapy, because I think you also want to make sure that you don't take on their pain.
Yeah.
Because you mentioned trying to fix it earlier. And because someone is in pain, pain has a purpose. Now, too much pain for too long without meaning or purpose, that can feel like torture. And that's where somebody walks out their journey. But that pain, sometimes a person has to go through it. I will never forget, in the midst of a major loss, family was looking to me as a psychologist saying, what can we do to help them? You know, what can we do to support? And it was like, we just gotta cry. We just gotta let them feel this. That is the only thing that we can do in this moment. What are your last statements, your closing things?
Okay, so my closing things was this, is that when you find someone that's going through grief, is to appreciate them, to listen to them, I mean, really listen, and not to try to solve it, because it's not something you are empowered to solve. That's the tip. The other tip is always appreciate the people that are around you. Do little things. Sometimes it's the little things that matter. For an example, I sent some cards out this past week. I have gotten more texts and emails telling people, you don't know how much I needed that. I mean, physically mailed a card, not text. I sent them a card. So the point is be in your moment now. If you're happy, be happy. If you're sad, it's okay. Emotions are not good or bad. There are no such things as good emotions and bad emotions. They're emotions. So just keep that in mind and embrace people and love them for who they are, not who you think they should be. That's mine.
I absolutely love that. And I thank you all for joining us. And if you have any things that you would like for us to cover, feel free to leave it in the comments. You can message it over to me on Instagram, or you can leave it in a comment on TikTok. And I say me because my mom does not check her DMs. Like, make sure to message me. And we just hope that y'all have a happy new year and that you had a good holiday season. And we'll get into, because preparing for this upcoming year, I think I'm glad that we're starting out with this topic, because I think there's a lot to come, and preparing can help us be in a place to better manage crisis if and when things do pop up. So we hope you have a great day.